The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that, because I found the work fascinating.
Is it just me, or do they keep saying the quiet part out loud? There is Barack Obama talking about his third term right at the top of the news stack from Richard today. There's a Spectator piece. Here comes President Joe Obama. That's right. And this article points out how that really, Barack Obama has greater control of this fake administration that Joe Biden is setting up than he did even when he was president his first term. Because of all that he did during his administration, putting all of those radical Marxist Democrats, bureaucrats, in positions of power, like the Spectator brings out. I mean, his gang is, the way he sees it, his gang is taking charge of Washington, D.C. He's coming back to power. And there he is last night with the comedian talking about a third term. Well, yeah, if I could be the puppet master, I'd go ahead and do it. And that, to be sure, is what he's planning on doing. We thank you for joining us on today's show, by the way. This is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And as per usual, we've got way too much content to cram within 1 hour of programming, but we'll do our best to get through as much as possible. The quiet part, and they're saying it out loud, just like Joe Biden a couple of weeks before the election. You remember it well. Clip one.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
He's certainly right about that. The most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. Joe Biden got, if we're to believe everything that we're seeing on the networks, everything that's being said, Joe Biden got 12 million more votes than Barack Obama. Even though he won something like 200 fewer counties, somehow, miraculously, he got 12 million more votes. The most in history. How much are you hearing even about that? President Trump, of course, is out there saying, yeah, 74, 75 million. I increased, by my 2016 tabulation, I increased it several million. He was aiming for 68 million. His campaign said that if we get to 68 million, we win, no problem. As it is, he got up to 74 million. And yet Joe Biden, 80 million votes. A fraud. A steal in broad daylight. And the more fraud there is, the more evidence of fraud that there is, the more the media say, there's no fraud. There's no evidence. This is not a scandal at all. I got a laugh out of the Goldberg report. I don't know if it was from today or a few days ago. But it says here, President-elect Joe Biden has vaulted into a surprising early lead in voting for the 2021 candidates for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Did you know this? It says, with about 10% of all the ballots in, Biden leads early favorites, including former Yankees Gary Sheffield, Nick Swisher, Roger Clemens, and on it goes. And then listen to this. This is obviously satire, but it's funny because it mirrors the truth. It says, despite never having played Major League Baseball, the president-elect's name appears on every ballot over the past decade. When asked about this, Biden campaign press secretary Bubba Bernstein stated, there's no evidence of voter fraud by or on behalf of the Biden campaign. The president-elect's baseball record is at Archmere Academy speaks for itself. There's no evidence of voter fraud here. When it's so obvious. It's so obvious. And yet, the corrupt media, Democrat media complex continues to blot out the truth, to blot out the evidence. They had nothing to say about the hearing in Arizona yesterday. Rudy Giuliani was there. All these witnesses, the president phoned in again. Did you get the highlights? Did you get the rundown? What are we left with now? Maybe the Epic Times, a few other sites, Newsmax, I suppose. What sites are left that actually report on what is happening in court, in these state legislatures, within the Trump campaign? We learned yesterday, well, there was an email sent out, evidently, in Maricopa County. This is according to the witnesses that were testifying there yesterday. This email instructed poll workers to distribute Sharpies. You probably saw a little bit about that when the election was going on. But this is what, I guess, makes some of the ballots hard to read. So they were just, and again, the email doesn't say why necessarily, but the fact that they sent this out is very unusual. And someone that stepped forward to speak up says that, yeah, I didn't understand it. And then it just so happens that it makes these ballots harder to read. There were allegations that the voting machines were connected to the internet. Now, you hear from the spokespeople of these companies, and again, most of them have gone missing. You don't see them out in public. There was just the one Dominion operative, the Rhino, that a little over a week ago came out and said in an 8-minute interview, nothing wrong here. Everything was perfect. And anyone that would say otherwise is a conspiracy theorist. But on their websites, all of them have said, look, one of the reasons why this is so secure is that none of the machines are hooked up to the internet. And now you've got these witnesses, not just in Arizona, in Michigan too. Well, yeah, actually, they were hooked up to the internet. Oh, really? And you would think the president would be, you would think the president is interested. You would think the press would begin to ask a few questions, just like they did before this election. All the reports in 2019, 2018, certainly in the lead up to this election even, about just how vulnerable we are to an attack because of this equipment, this technology that's hooked right up to the internet. There were other witnesses yesterday that talked about those that had just moved to the state. They had two addresses and that they were able to vote. In Maricopa County, none of the mail-in ballots went through a signature verification process. So absolutely no protection against voter fraud for these mail-in ballots. They just came in from who knows where and they counted them. Didn't, according to a witness. Now, this was yesterday. Remember, the Democrat media complex, they want evidence, right? So here's a witness saying they weren't checked. There was no signature verification. And then you had all of the data analysts that have been crunching the numbers. Listen to this expert witness. This was a witness put forward by Rudy Giuliani. You can hear him asking a question or two. And listen to what he said about the just how obvious the fraud is here. Clip 16.
What is your opinion as to the validity of the numbers that were certified today by the Secretary of State and the governor about this election?
If I was an executive at a publicly traded company, I would never sign that because I risk jail time and having all my money taken from me in lawsuits. So to answer your question, I would never, ever have certified. I'd rather resign than have certified those results.
Professional opinion is that the numbers are fraudulent.
I believe they're fraudulent based on the data. And my sister asked me a simple question this morning. She goes, how sure are you? And my sister's a pretty stubborn person like me. And I said, I'd be willing to put my life on it.
There's an expert, a data analyst, who said he'd be willing to bet his life on the fact that this was fraudulent. And these are people analyzing the data that's just out there and in the public domain. We can't even yet get into the inside of the process. They're trying to in Georgia. They're evidently going to do some of that today in Nevada. You don't hear about this on the news. I know it. That's why we have to cover it. It's completely blacked out. But even from what's available, readily available to the general public, look at all of the evidence. If only we had an honest media. Think about how much more evidence there would be. Yesterday we went through that Spectator piece about all of the statistical anomalies. This was Jesse Waters last night on his Fox program. Again, having no doubt just read that article, here he is summarizing all of these statistical anomalies. Clip 6.
If this was a clean election, then Joe Biden ran the greatest campaign in presidential history because he shattered decades of records, over a century of records and trends in this election. And the media is not even curious about it. I mean, how do you have a down ballot wave on one hand and then the opposite wave on the top of the ticket? That hasn't happened for 120 years. You're saying the guy that got more votes than any other person in U.S. history doesn't have coattails? Or Donald Trump, the incumbent, actually got more votes in his reelection race and ended up losing? That hasn't happened in 150 years. That Joe Biden lost 17 out of the 18 bellwethers. That Joe Biden won less counties than Hillary, 200 less counties than Barack Obama, and still came out ahead. That Joe Biden lost Florida, lost Ohio, and still won the election. That hasn't happened since 1960, when JFK did some home cooking in Chicago. Or he underperformed Hillary in every major metropolitan area except Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Atlanta. Or the fact that Donald Trump won more of a percentage of minority voters for Republicans since 1960, won 95% of Republican voters, won the middle class, yet still lost? I mean, why isn't the media saying, Joe, what's your secret?
Maybe Biden should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What a miracle. This is an incredible story. And he makes a good point there saying, why aren't the media, at the very least, why aren't they talking about the incredible record-shattering performance of Joe Biden? 80 million votes, 12 million more than Barack Obama at his very best. He went on to say that they're not talking about the record-shattering performance. They're not even talking about Biden's victory. All that they're saying is that Donald Trump lost. That's all the reporting that you're going to get. He lost. He lost. Why is he contesting it? Why does he continue with the misinformation? Why is he continuing with these lawsuits? They're not talking about this supposed historic defeat. Or victory, I should say. They're not talking about this record-shattering victory of Biden because they know it was a fraud. And they just want us to move on from it. The whole point of this was to get Donald Trump out of the White House. That is the mission. The mission is accomplished. And there you have Barack Obama on TV last night saying, you know, people have asked me about a third term. And yeah, I think, if I could get down in the basement and just operate in my sweats, I think I'd actually kind of like it. Yeah. I'd like to be pulling the strings. And people don't think anything of it. Barack Obama could say anything he wants in public, in private, and nothing would shock his sycophants in the media. Nothing. Well, I have a clip later if we have time. He's talking about, you know, with the reporter, he's talking about just how outdated the Constitution is. And, well, we need to do this and add these states and get rid of this and all of this stuff that just shatters precedent, shatters the Constitution. And the reporters, they love it. They just love it. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, who sees the fraud in plain daylight and is going to the courts to try to solve this, expose this, he's the one they're still attacking. That's the storyline. It's not that Joe Biden pulled off this miraculous victory, this miraculous comeback. It's that Donald Trump lost, and so we just want him to leave. It's like President Trump said Sunday, I believe it was. I played the clip yesterday about all of this scandalous criminality. And he said that the press believes that if it's not covered or if it's ignored, there's no scandal there. So they don't report on it. They don't report on the Arizona hearing. Sidney Powell's two complaints filed Wednesday night, right before Thanksgiving. We got on the show Friday and talked about it. Did you hear anything about it on Thanksgiving or on Friday if you weren't listening to this show? And then now, I mean, that's like ancient history. Oh, that filing from almost a week ago? There's another one that's been appealed to, I believe, the 11th Circuit. And there's all the cases filed in Michigan as well. And then that case, that fascinating case regarding, I think it's Act 77, in Pennsylvania, how that could kick up to the Supreme Court, we'll see. But have you heard anything on this? Evidence, you see. Evidence is everywhere. And yet, you hear none of it. You hear none of it. This judge in Pennsylvania, by the way, this was from Friday night, or sometime during the day Friday, and then I think the Pennsylvania Supreme Court weighed in on Saturday. But anyway, this judge, Patricia McCullough, on Friday, she's the one that ordered the Pennsylvania election officials to not certify. She gave this order and then basically said this was a suit not even filed by the Trump campaign, but just by some American citizens who said that this Act 77, was unconstitutional. This was how the voting rules were changed before the election. And it went through the Pennsylvania Constitution, this complaint does. And it says, look, the Constitution very clearly says that if you're going to make changes in the election process, it has to be done just like this. It has to be just so. And the people have to have a say. And the people have to have a vote. And then it needs to go through the state legislature. Here, it was just, well, I think it might have went through the state legislature, but it was tacked on to another bill. So it was just ramrodded right on through, supported by the Supreme Court. But here's this judge, Judge McCullough, who said in her complaint, in her decision, her statement on Friday, it was, petitioners appear to have established a likelihood to succeed on the merits because petitioners have asserted The Constitution does not provide a mechanism for the legislature to allow for expansion of absentee voting without a constitutional amendment. To do this, you've got to amend the Constitution, the state Constitution. And so here is a judge saying, look, I feel like there's a likelihood that they'll succeed on the merits. Did you hear about this in the news? Did Fox News cover this? Did CNN get into this? Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, they ruled a day later saying that, well, we've got to reject this case because, you know, you're too late. Essentially, that's what they said. You're too late. They didn't get into the constitutional issues, or they didn't get into the fact that they disregarded the Constitution. They just said it's too late. And we'll see what happens with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, I'm talking about the federal Supreme Court, they rarely get involved if it's involving a state statute, but I believe Mark Levin was explaining this last night. If that statute impacts the entire nation, well, there is precedent with the 2000 election fiasco with Bush versus Gore. There is precedent for the Supreme Court to intervene. My father made a powerful point last night in his trumpet brief, talking about, now we've said a lot about God swinging things in favor of Donald Trump in the Supreme Court at the very highest level, but he made the point last night that as you see some of these cases being rejected or dismissed, all of this voter fraud, this massive voter fraud, that's so obvious to see. He made the point that this is not only exposing the fraud of the election, but it's exposing the corruption in the legal system as well. So many of these judges are themselves just Democrat hacks. That's certainly the case with five of them on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And my father took you through Micah, the third chapter, well, quite a few verses from the book of Micah. But Micah 3 and verse 1, in particular, where it says, is it not for you to know judgment? I mean, shouldn't there be just judgment if there was fraud, if there was criminality, if there was lying? I mean, if people are trying, like they're doing down in Georgia, if they're trying to scrub these servers, and if you haven't noticed, the Democrats are quite good at that. Hillary Clinton did it back a few years ago. But if they're trying to purge the systems now and hit the reset, well, we got to get ready for the Senate campaign coming up in January. There's this rush to certify, this rush to get it over and done with, this rush in the case of some of the machines to keep them from being examined. It says here, almost all these suits are being thrown out. This is my father's trumpet brief. Media sources are accepting this at face value as proof that the claims of fraud are baseless. So the judge on Friday, she says, I think these people have a point. I think it's going to win in court. And then very quickly, here comes the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, all of the Democrat hacks that say, no, it's going to be dismissed. It's got to be dismissed. You're too late. We can't address your concerns about the Constitution. You should have gotten into this before the election, which of course was before the harm was done. Now the harm is obvious. And here you have these powerful judges. They've got some authority, some of them. And they're basically deciding what's fraud, what's not fraud, who gets a voice, who doesn't get a voice, what should be in court, what shouldn't be in court. And then the media, like my father says, they look at a case being dismissed and think, well, then there's certainly nothing to it. There's no evidence. Listen to Martha McCallum. She's on Fox News, and Laura Trump is, you know, she just has the position of, I think Donald Trump is still going to win this. And then listen to the reaction. Again, this is Fox News, clip 5.
Well, look, I still think that the president will get 4 more years in office. I think it'll be the next 4 years because this thing is far from over.
Laura, you just had certifications today in Arizona, in Georgia, in Wisconsin. You heard Geraldo moments ago say, you know, it's time to accept the outcome of this. What are you seeing or hearing out there that he is not?
Well, that's why I'm having a little trouble with my earplugs here, but that's Martha McCallum interjecting there saying, look, you've heard the reporting. You've heard what Geraldo said. How can this continue? How can this continue? You know, and Sam brought this up earlier this morning. You heard it from her there, Laura Trump. And you heard it in the hearing yesterday with in Arizona with Jenna Ellis, Rudy Giuliani, and then President Trump when he called in. And all of these people, they're coming under such an intense attack. And yet you listen to Trump's campaign, and they all hold their composure. They're carrying on. And I'll get to a few of the clips from what the president said a little bit later. But here, all of these others are screaming, and not just Democrats. Like I said, it's hard to find any coverage at all of the actual content that's in these court filings, these complaints. And then you don't hear about the hearing last Wednesday in Pennsylvania, yesterday in Arizona. All of these articles that have analyzed the data. Matt Brainerd, the clip I played for you earlier, that other fella from Arizona, said he'd bet his life on it. Do you have that Spectator piece I read to you yesterday? Are there news media types that are out there saying, look, we should probably look into these numbers? Or are they just all with one accord saying, hey, Joe Biden is in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Oh, yes. Been on the ballot for 10 years. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. No interest whatsoever. Listen to this from the editorial board at the National Review. The National Review, supposed to be conservative, right? It says, Trump's most reprehensible tactic has been to attempt somewhat shamefacedly to get local Republican officials to block the certification of votes in state legislatures to appoint Trump electors in a clear violation of the public will. Well, this is clearly a violation of the public will. Again, do they talk about the Constitution? Do they talk about the law? Do they talk about what's legal, what's not legal? No, it's just the public will. The public say he's got to go. So that's probably his most reprehensible tactic. The fact that he would actually fight this. This is the National Review. It says this has gone nowhere thanks to the honesty and sense of duty of most of the Republicans involved, but it's a profoundly undemocratic move that we hope no losing presidential candidate ever even thinks of again. The National Review says, what America has long expected is that losing candidates swallow those feelings and at least pretend to be gracious. If Trump's not capable of it, he should at least stop waging war on the outcome. It's pretty strong condemnation for the president. For the president. Now, you'd have to search long and hard through the archives of National Review to find anything that strong against anything Barack Obama did or said. That's right. They reserve their strongest condemnations for Donald J. Trump. Even these so-called conservative sites. I mentioned the clip from Obama. I think this is from last week. He's sitting down with a reporter that basically says we need to ditch the Constitution. And there's Obama nodding along. You know, the puppet master nodding along. Yeah, it's just a nice casual discussion about doing away with the supreme law of the land. Listen to the question followed up. The question, in case you can't hear it, this reporter says, it feels like we're catering to white racists all the time. It feels like we're catering to white racists. That's the way this reporter thinks. And then listen to Barack Obama's response, clip 3.
Damn, it feels like we're catering to white racists all the time. So I wonder how different would the Dem strategy be if we lived in a one-man, one-vote society with no electoral college?
Well, I think that would help. I mean, look, let's take a simple example like the Senate. So Wyoming, which has about 500,000 people, has the same number of senators as California with 33 million people, right? Mm-hmm. So what that means is that the U.S. Senate basically is hugely skewed towards some of these lower population, more rural, much whiter states than the big coastal states. Our democracy is imperfect. Changing that is going to take a lot of effort.
Oh, and then the media, you could just see them all collectively yawning. No big deal. Nothing controversial there. Let's do away with the Electoral College. And then for his part, Barack Obama chiming in saying, well, you know, it is true. It is true. That much whiter state of Wyoming, how could they get two senators? And California only gets two as well. I mean, we don't need states' rights. Let's just have a direct democracy. Forget about what those old founders had to say. Forget about the way that they set it up so that there would be states' rights and so that you actually, you did have mechanisms in place in case there was widespread voter fraud. The state legislatures and Congress could protect you from that. It's all there in the founding documents. You see now just how much wisdom the founders had. These types want an out-of-control runaway freight train, basically. Bring down the system. And yet they can go on and on talking about bringing down the system, undermining the supreme law of the land, and nothing about it would ever be viewed as controversial on 60 Minutes. That is for sure. That's for sure. My father says the left doesn't want opposition. They want tyranny. That's because they're following Satan the devil, who has a stranglehold on them. They want tyranny. They want to impose their will on the populace. They want power. They're willing to do anything to get power. They want the fake president-elect in there. And then they want two more victories in Georgia, the Georgia Senate. And then they can start carrying out Barack Obama's vision. Part of it you heard just a moment ago. And others at times have opened their mouths and said the quiet part. Chuck Schumer did recently, clip 4.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Fundamental transformation. We just take Georgia. After the fake presidency gets in, then we win those two seats. We've got a 50-50. Kamala's got the deciding vote. Then we can change America. I told you last week on one of the shows to keep an eye on Georgia. And the reason that's important is because what happened, we know a little bit more about what went on election night. The shenanigans. All the nefarious activity. We know a little bit more about what went on there. And it's as you've seen, or as we've explained, it's a very similar strategy to what played out in all of these crucial swing states. And now, as I say, you've got these people that are trying to reset the Dominion machines before they can be scrutinized. This is from Fox News. Yesterday, it says a district judge on Sunday night blocked three Georgia counties from altering or erasing data on Dominion voting machines after Republican nominees to the Electoral College filed an emergency motion. Judge Timothy Batten Sr., his order applies to Dominion voting machines in three counties, which are clustered in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And there was some footage yesterday on Twitter showing this moving van coming up to some of the counting centers. And so naturally, people are concerned. Ordinary citizens, they're tweeting these things out saying, what's going on? What equipment are they moving? But to even ask a question, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Just a conspiracy theorist. The Washington Examiner, this is also from yesterday, it says Georgia elections chief blames technician for Dominion server crash in Fulton County. I told you about this yesterday, the electronic recount that's going on. And they have a big server crash. And then you have people again saying, what is going on? Why are we continually hearing things about, you know, computer breakdowns or flash drives that go missing or servers that get reset or moved? Sidney Powell says there was one confiscated. She said that on Lou Dobbs last night. This is clip 11. Scooch forward.
And guess what happened yesterday while we were in the process of trying to get the state to respond for our request to the restraining order? Someone went down to the Fulton Center where the votes and Dominion machines were, claimed there was a software glitch and they had to replace the software, and it seems that they removed the server.
That's Sidney Powell and Lou Dobbs last night. Now, this is from the Washington Examiner. It says a top election official in Georgia blamed a Dominion voting system server crash on a technician who didn't follow instructions. It says there were no Dominion issues in Fulton County. There was a Dominion server that crashed because Fulton County literally ignored the basic instructions and the instructions of the vendor on this one, the directions of the vendor. This is a spokesman or a representative for the Georgia Secretary of State's office, Raffensperger. And he's been the one that's out there basically saying, everything's perfect here, nothing to worry about. Donald Trump lost. The spokesman, it says, according to him, Fulton County should have been using its central server for the state's presidential election recount, but instead chose to use the wrong server. So all these errors and mistakes, and yet we're told it was the most error-free, secure election in the history of the United States. It gives the rundown on that order from Judge Batten on Sunday. It says, on Sunday night, Batten ordered Kemp and Raffensperger to explain why they opposed the Trump campaign's request to inspect voting machines the president's team claims may have been rigged in favor of Biden. So this, according to the Washington Examiner, you have a judge saying, look, you've got a couple days here to answer the Trump team. And these are two Republicans, keep in mind, in name only, but nevertheless, Republicans. And Donald Trump is saying, can we at least examine the equipment? No, can't do it. Can't do it. And then you see footage of the equipment being moved around. And you read stories of a server crashing. The two were given until Wednesday to file a response. The judge also ordered officials not to erase or alter any data pertaining to the election. Why would the judge have to give that order? And furthermore, why would anyone want to erase or alter these hard drives? Well, obviously, it's to hide something. Hide something. This is from the Associated Press. Sam found this. It's from October 27th, 2017. It also pertains to Georgia. This is, of course, long before the election from this past November. But it says here, a computer server crucial to the lawsuit against Georgia election officials was quietly wiped clean by its custodians just after the suit was filed. The Associated Press has learned, I'm not familiar with the lawsuits here, but the key point is that this kind of thing does happen from time to time. Hillary did it in 2016. And the FBI said, well, that's okay. I guess there was nothing incriminating on it. I mean, maybe she was just kind of venting, taking that hammer to the servers and the Blackberries and the phones and such, destroying all this evidence, trying to blot it out, trying to blot out the truth. It says the server's data was destroyed July 7th by technicians at the Center of Elections Systems and Kennesaw State University. This is hilarious. Now, no problem with elections. Everything's just perfect. Everything's perfect. It says the Kennesaw Election Center answers to Georgia's Secretary of State, Brian Kemp. Yes, the same Brian Kemp who is now the governor. It says a Republican running for governor in 2018 and the suit's main defendant, his spokeswoman, issued a statement Thursday saying his office had neither involvement nor advanced warning of the decision. It blamed the ultimate ineptitude at the Kennesaw State Election Center. So they're both blaming each other. But here he says, look, this election center, ultimate ineptitude. This was back when he was the state secretary. Now he's the governor. And then he's got Raffensperger as his state secretary. And both of them, nope, can't examine anything. Nope, can't match the signatures. No, now we've got to certify. We've got to go forward. Everything's legit here. Listen to the Georgia state secretary. This was from yesterday, Brad Raffensperger, what he said about this vote, clip 7.
There are those who are exploiting the emotions of many Trump supporters with fantastic claims, half-truths, misinformation, and frankly, they are misleading the president as well, apparently.
So the president's being misled. Anybody that would question this is just a conspiracy theorist. And then for the major media, for its part, well, they've got to trot out the guy that was at the DHS that 9 days after the election said, most secure in history. He's now a hero. Okay, President Trump fired him and said, what are you talking about? There's fraud everywhere. But he's a hero. And he's on 60 Minutes. And listen to this exchange from Sunday, clip 20.
Christopher Krebs told us it's ironic that the disruption and disinformation he feared from abroad came instead from Pennsylvania Avenue.
The president says you're dead wrong about election security, and to him you say what?
There is no foreign power that is flipping votes. There's no domestic actor flipping votes. I did it right. We did it right. This was a secure election.
I did it right, he says. You know, that's interesting. Again, going back to that directive from Jay Johnson, what he said, as the Obama administration was on the way out, you know, he wanted to try to set it up where there was more federal oversight. Obama previously had said how that's one of the most secure things about our elections is that they're decentralized. And this guy, he says, I did it right. He's taking the election, taking credit for it himself. Interesting statement. I did it right. Everything's fine. This was a secure election. Don't even ask a question. You remember the pipe burst on election night? That story about how that at the State Farm Arena, this is this massive, massive stadium, basically, in the Atlanta area. This is in Fulton County. And right as the polls were closing, the media told us, yeah, there was this pipe burst and all of the counters and the poll watchers were told to go home. And then, of course, there's witnesses now that said, yeah, we went home, but we noticed that there were a few that continued right on, working the machines. This is from Sidney Powell's complaint filed last Wednesday. Now, listen to this. Because nobody in the media is going to go find this and put it together or even revisit it. It says here, plaintiffs have learned that the representation about a water leak affecting the room where absentee ballots were counted was not true. The only water leak that needed repairs at the State Farm Arena from November 3rd to November 5th was a toilet overflow that occurred earlier on November 3rd. It had nothing to do with the room, with ballot counting, but the false water break representation led to everyone being sent home. She has that in quotes. Nonetheless, first six people, then three people stayed until 1:05 a.m. working on the computers. So we were lied to, right? And if you were watching a lot of the election coverage, you heard it over and over again. Here's a montage from Fox News. This is election night, November 3rd, November 4th, on the results coming out of Georgia. Clip 8.
Before you go to North Carolina from Georgia, apparently at the State Farm Arena, they were delayed 4 hours because of a water pipe burst in that room. And they don't expect, as you say, Bill, that Fulton County will come in for quite some time. That's home to a tenth of the voters in Georgia in that.
Keep an eye on that. Fulton County, check this a moment ago. Really, the numbers haven't moved. Martha, what did you say? There was a water main break there that paused everything tonight. If that's the obstruction here, we've got a lot of votes still to be counted down there.
Georgia obviously still in play. We may not have the results now from Fulton County as a result of the water main break for a couple of days, according to election officials there.
Getting word from DeKalb County elections, due to technology limitations, the precincts accidentally reported zero of 191 until all precincts were uploaded and tabulated. We're working diligently to compile all votes and will continue the effort of processing absentee ballots at 11 a.m. Wednesday, November 4th.
John, here's the catch now. In Georgia, you got 6% of the vote out, all right? I mean, it's surmountable. You know, you got 5 million votes cast here. Why can't you call it? There's a suggestion here that between Fulton County and DeKalb, Fulton County's Atlanta, east is DeKalb, there could be upwards of 200,000 votes still outstanding. They're given hesitation as to make a final call here on Georgia. Maybe that changes to the night. Maybe it takes 11 a.m. tomorrow morning to make a final call on that.
Now, if you had an honest media that actually got to paragraph 118 in Sidney Powell's complaint, there's witnesses that saw six people, then three people working the machines, even as everyone was told to go home because of a water main break, And now we know it was just a toilet overflow at this stadium. One little bathroom, one little toilet. If you had an honest media, what would they be doing? All of them said it. They all repeated it. Where are the reporters saying, we were lied to? Why? Why were we lied to? What was going on? Why did you send those counters home? Why did the counting continue? When everyone wasn't supposed to come back until when? Well, you heard it there, 11 a.m. The counting continued. That's when they added all of the fraudulent ballots. Rudy Giuliani brought this out yesterday at the Arizona hearing, clip 9.
The key fraud is the mail-in ballot. That was the backup in case they fell too far behind. That's why they cut off the vote at midnight, 1 o'clock, when President Trump was getting too far ahead. So they cut off the vote. He was getting up to 800,000 in Pennsylvania, 300,000 in Michigan. He was even further ahead in Wisconsin. They cut off the vote. They turned things off. They chased everybody out. And then they started bringing in false ballots.
They cut off the vote. They chased everyone out. And then the few that were all in on the fraud, they brought in the false ballots. I just want to refer you again to a couple of articles my father wrote. Last night's the Bible Reveals America's Courts Are Corrupt. That's at the trumpet.com website. And you might also just dig out the Micah booklet from off the shelf as well. It's been a while since I've read that one. But that's where it talks about so much injustice. And then, of course, the article that we're promoting right now, why Donald Trump will remain the U.S. president. God says that this is to be exposed. This is to be exposed. Sidney Powell made this point last night on Lou Dobbs, clip 10.
It's just pouring out more by the day. People are coming forward with different bits and pieces of the puzzle. Different states shaved different amounts of votes, or the system was set up to shave and flip different votes in different states. Some people were targeted as individual candidates. It's really the most massive and historical egregious fraud the world has ever seen.
There's evidence of it everywhere. Whether it's these complaints that have been filed, these hearings that are being ignored, these affidavits that are being signed. There's evidence everywhere. If you only had a press or a media willing to do a little bit of work, President Trump in his statement yesterday at that Arizona hearing, he talked about how much easier it would be for him to just go ahead and give up and to start planning for 2024. Everybody's telling him to do it. The National Review's saying do it. All of his supporters, even in the media, are telling him to do it. Just throw in the towel. Just call it quits. Here's what he said about that yesterday, clip 13.
And I just say that I want to thank you. We're going to win this thing. We're not giving up ever. There's never been anything like this.
We're not going to give up ever, he said there. We're going to win this thing. And this is what infuriates his opponents in the Democrat and Republican Party, because he won't stop fighting. He won't stop fighting. There's a proverb that says, "For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." He keeps coming back. Now, I didn't quote that to say that he's this just and perfect leader by any means, but he is a fighter. He will not give up. He continued to say this, clip 14.
"This shows you how arrogant the Democrats and others were in taking away and stealing an election, because that's what they've tried to do, is steal it. And the easy route for me, with everyone saying, oh, just focus on 2024, sir. Focus on 2024. I said, no, I have to focus on 2 weeks ago, because this is the greatest scam ever perpetrated upon our country. This is the big one. And we went through plenty. We went through the phony Russia, and the phony impeachment and all of the different things."
That's President Trump yesterday at the Arizona hearing, saying how much easier it would be to just give up. It's always easy to give up and surrender. But he won't do it. And his lawyers won't do it. And they're asking others in the Republican Party to make a stand as well. Listen to this yesterday from Rudy Giuliani, clip 15.
"And I'm going to ask you to fight. And I'm going to ask you to try to implore the other members of your legislature to stand up to this. Do not be bullied. Do not be frightened. Your political career is worth losing if you can save the right to vote in America. In fact, I may get you a..."
You can see there that even in the age of social distancing, there weren't that many people in the hall. But you can see that he has popular support for that sentiment. "Your political career is worth losing if you can save the right to vote in America." Or we could shorten it some and say, "Your political career is worth losing if you can save America. If you can join with us and go on the offensive. Fight for the truth. Expose this corruption." It's not easy. It's never easy to go on the offensive. My father writes about this in Offensive Warfare. If going on the offensive is three or four times harder, you need to be wholehearted. or you're going to get out on the battlefield and begin to hesitate, and you're going to get slaughtered physically and spiritually. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2 that talks about enduring hardness. It is hard to fight, if you'll bear with me as I just draw a spiritual parallel from this. It's hard. It's always hard to fight and to go on the offensive. But to paraphrase what you just heard from that attorney, it's worth taking some risks in order to fight for God, in order to bring salvation to mankind. God calls his people saviors, co-saviors in Obadiah. What a calling we have, and we're going to need to be fearless, and we're going to need to be courageous to fight for God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.